Welcome to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God podcast, an in-depth study of the Word of God. The program's name is from Romans 12:2, which says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Welcome and welcome back to Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God podcast, where we are studying the Word of God, which can only be found in the Bible. Specifically, we are in the book of John out of the New Testament, chapter 16. We're going to start chapter 16 in this episode, and we're going to cover verses 1 through 11. Jesus is on his way to the cross to die for my sins, to die for your sins, to die for the sins of mankind. He's hours away from being arrested, beaten, spat upon, humiliated, whipped, and ultimately crucified on a cross, nails in his feet and in his hands, dying for our sins. But he's not going to stay dead. He will be resurrected because he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the perfect sinless sacrifice for our sins. So chapter 16, we see Jesus continuing his discourse with his disciples, his 12 disciples, getting them prepared for what is to come. That is his arrest and his death, and their fear and their scattering. So he's telling them these things to get them prepared, to counsel them, to comfort them, as he knows it would be a dark hour for this earth and for mankind as a whole that God would come and die, but particularly for them, those who have been with him for the last 3 years, who've seen the miracles, who through his power perform miracles themselves, and then in their mind, it's just impossible that these things are going to transpire, the arrests and the beating and the death of the Messiah. So they will be operating in fear. They'll be scared for their own safety and life, because if this could happen to the Messiah, surely it could happen to one of us. They're going to see the betrayal of Peter as Jesus predicted. So he's getting them prepared. And so in chapter 16, we continue to see Jesus explain these things that must happen. Particularly, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit, how when he finishes his earthly ministry and is resurrected and ascends back to heaven, that he's going to send the great comforter, the Holy Spirit, counselor, to be with them, to be with us today, to counsel us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to empower us to do those things that God has called us to do. So in our traditional sense, what we're going to do, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. We're going to pray, and then we're going to come back and break them down individually. So if you're not already done so, please open your Bible or your Bible app to the book of John that can be found in the New Testament. And we're going to pick up in chapter 16, starting with verse number 1. Again, Jesus is still talking to his disciples after what's commonly referred to as the upper room discourse. They leave the upper room, but Jesus still continued this discourse of getting them prepared and trying to comfort them about the things that shortly about to happen, hours away. Verse number 1, "I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith, for you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who kill you will think they are doing a holy service for God." Verse number 3, "This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now, so when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer." Verse number 5, "But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you." Verse number 7, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you." Verse number 8, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. And then finally, verse number 11, judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in your Son's mighty name, Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you. We honor you. We worship you. We just praise you. We lift up you because you and you alone are worthy to be praised, to be honored, to be recognized, to be glorified. And so we do so. We thank you for your only begotten Son, Lord Jesus, sending him to die for our sins. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit after you resurrected Jesus from death because he was perfect. We thank you for your word. We thank you for an opportunity to study your word. And we ask now by the power of the Holy Spirit that you open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to better understand and receive and apply your word in our lives, Father, that you and you alone may get the glory. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Now, again, to recap what we talked about in our last episode, when we finished up chapter 15, where Jesus told them, and he had predicted that one of his own would betray him, that he would die. He said, he told them, don't be surprised that afterwards the world is going to hate you because they hate me. They hated me first. And as believers and confessors of me, they're going to hate you as well. He said, if you were of the world, they would love you. The world loves its own. It praises its own. Anybody that's doing what the world do, the world loves you. But if you're not following worldly ideas, worldly beliefs, the world is going to turn on you. The world is not going to like you. The world is going to hate you. That's what our Lord and Savior told them then and has been true. It was true then, has been true throughout the ages, even up to now. And it will continue to be that way until such time as Jesus returns to this earth a second time. But he told them and he prepared them. He's warning them. These things are going to come to pass. And he's going to pick up on that theme, which we're going to get to in a minute. I'm just recapping our last episode. But he told them that after the Holy Spirit is going to come after his death and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit is going to teach them all and the world about him, going to remind them about the things that Jesus had taught them in the past that they didn't quite understand. And the work of the Holy Spirit of doing that is continuing to this day. That's the work, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which he's going to continue to talk about. So let's pick up and talk about verse number one, where he says, I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. Again, this verse number one of John chapter 16, what we've already been saying over these last couple of episodes. Now, Jesus, go ahead and tell them, this is why I'm telling you these things when they come to pass, that you won't lose your faith. You won't be caught off guard. You know that I am the Messiah. I still, even after my death, burial, and resurrection, I'm still God. I'm still the Messiah. And I've told you these things so you can take faith. Hey, he told us these things are going to take place, but yet he told us what? He was going to send the Holy Spirit. He told us he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So they can be encouraged and reassured to continue the work in which he set before them, in which they would do unto their deaths. So he lays it out while he's telling them these things, so it make it easier for them to endure when they do happen. So when the persecution come, they will be encouraged that if these things that he said is going to come to pass for his day, hardships, the other things that he talked about, the Holy Spirit coming and the accomplishments of the Holy Spirit, they will come to pass as well, so we can take comfort. Moving on to verse number two. For you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who kill you would think they're doing a holy service for God. Jesus in this verse is telling them what will happen to them because of him, that they'll be put out of the synagogue, that they're going to be killed, some of them will be killed. And sadly, it's going to be the religious leaders during that time that's going to be doing most of the persecution, which they will wrongly claim that they're doing in service to God. They're doing a disservice to God. As Jesus told him, what you're doing the work of your father, Satan. But they don't understand that. But the things they'll be doing in the name of God and in service of God, and they're going to be flat out wrong. But he's telling them to get them prepared. And he tells them the reason why they're going to be doing this thing, because they really don't know God. They don't know him, which he explains in verse number 3. Let's look at verse number 3 in John chapter 16. This is because they have never known the Father or me. So just like I said, Jesus telling them, it makes it clear that their persecutors will be doing these things to them, persecuting the believers, persecuting the church, because they don't have a relationship with God. They don't have a relationship and know Jesus, despite their claim to the otherwise. They're going to claim they know God, just like they told Jesus that they knew him, or Abraham. And he told them, no, you don't know me. You don't know my Father. You're doing the works of your father, Satan. And they're going to continue to do that work, and they're continuing to do that work today. Moving on to verse number 4, John chapter 6. And I'm not saying all religious leaders are doing the work of Satan, but all religious leaders and all believers who confess, who claim to profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, is not the case. God in his word says not the case, which we will see and have seen. John chapter 16, verse number 4. Yes, I'm telling you these things now, So when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a while longer. Jesus is about to leave them. He's going back to the Father. He's going to that cross for my sins and for your sins. He's going to die for our sins, but he's not going to stay dead. God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to resurrect him because he's perfect. So he's revealing what's going to happen to prepare them, as he said, to warn you, because I won't be here forever with you in this body. It's going to die. I will be given a new glorified body. So he's warning them. He said, I'm telling you these things so when they happen, you will remember. And to take heart, because something else is going to happen. Not only these things, other things are going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to comfort you. He's going to empower you. He's going to be your advocate, your comforter. Some translation of the Bible, in reference to some of these scriptures we're going to be using, they use the word counselor, comforter, advocate. All referring to the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Moving on to John chapter 16, verse 5. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking where I'm going. Jesus tell them that he's about to return to God the Father in heaven. The disciples are worried about the fact that Jesus plans to leave them, not the destination which he's going or headed. And when he says that, because you remember earlier, they asked where he was going, but there was no maturity behind it. And they're not asking now where he's going. They're more concerned about, and it's coming to dawn on them, because he said these things before, and I think it's starting to sink in that he's getting ready to go. And they're not necessarily concerned with Jesus saying right here, you're not asking where I'm going, because the thought behind is that, and he knows, and he talks about that in the next couple of verses, that they're not concerning that he's going to die for their sins and return to the Father. They're thinking he's going to leave us. Just like a good friend or brother or family member is going to leave you. I'm like, where does that leave me? I won't see you anymore. And they're missing the point. And he understands that. He's God. He knows. And he says that in the next verse, verse number 6. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. This partly clarified what Jesus meant when he said in his earlier statement to the disciples that they did not ask where he's going, because they're not really concerned about him dying or thinking about that he's getting ready to die for the sins of mankind and return to the Father. They're just thinking about themselves and about what's going to happen once he's no longer here. And feeling sad about that, which I'm not saying anything wrong about that, because Jesus was their friend. He's their Messiah. He's our Messiah. He calls us friends as believers. So I'm not chastising them for being saddened that their friend is telling them that they're no longer being there. I'm putting it in the context in which Jesus saw it and explaining it to them. Moving on to verse number 7. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, and some translations may say the comforter or the helper, won't come, whether it's the advocate, the comforter, or the helper or counselor, still referring to the Holy Spirit, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Whether your translation says the advocate, the comforter, or helper, they're all referring to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit here. Jesus's earthly ministry and mission was to come to fulfill the law, which he did, and to die as the perfect sin offering for mankind's sin. Once Jesus finished his mission through his death on that cross, he will ascend back to God the Father in heaven. Then the Holy Spirit is sent to the earth to start his earthly ministry. That is to give a new birth to the new spirit to believers who confess Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to dwell in the new believer, and to empower them, to comfort them, and to teach them and point to Lord Jesus. And he's telling them in this verse that the Holy Spirit won't come to do these things until he, Jesus, die and return to God the Father in heaven. That's why he says, best for you that I go away. So that the Holy Spirit, one, that he would die best for us, for him to die for our sins, so we can have reconciliation, forgiveness of sin, and reconciliation with God the Father. And two, for the send back the Holy Spirit, because when Jesus was in bodily form, he was limited to where he could be. He couldn't be in Jerusalem and in Egypt at the same time. But the Holy Spirit is everywhere, all at one time, omnipresent, ministering to the world, at which we're going to see. So that's why he told him, it's best for me to go away, one, to die for your sins, and two, for the Holy Spirit to come to start his earthly ministry. Verse number 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of coming judgment. Here Jesus explained another purpose of the Holy Spirit coming. That is to convict. And actually the Greek word here means to rebuke or convince or accuse. So this verse tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring exposure and accuse the world regarding its sins of the unbelieving world, mainly the supreme sin of rejecting Jesus as God and Lord and Savior and die for our sins. That's the supreme sin. To reject God and to reject Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of that. This verse also tells us that the Holy Spirit rebuke, convince, or accuse the world of and speak of God's righteousness. Jesus was the perfect sinless sacrifice for mankind's sin. However, and he died for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. Because of his perfection, because of his perfect righteousness, God the Father raised him from the dead. And thus the resurrection is important. It was just not about Jesus dying, but also that he rose from the dead because of his perfect righteousness. And that perfect righteousness is imputed or substituted to believers. So when God sees us, he doesn't see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Jesus, the great exchange. Jesus took on our sins on that cross, and we took on his righteousness because he did it for us. We are unrighteous. He is righteous. So he took on, what a mighty God we serve. Think about that. God, our creator, died for us. We are a mess, full of sin, full of hatred, full of unrighteousness. And all that had to pay, a price had to be paid for that. And Jesus, God, paid it. He took on our sin and we received his righteousness. So in this verse, it talks about the Holy Spirit is going to tell the world of God's righteousness that we have because of believing in him. That's a great God that would do that. And then finally, this verse says the Holy Spirit will accuse the world and convict the world of sin. Starting with Satan and all his followers who have rejected God, the ultimate sin. And verses 9, 10, 11 just expounds upon what verse 8 talks about, the conviction of sin, of God's righteousness, and coming judgment. So let's look at verse number 9. In some translations, I'm reading from the New Living Translations, but other translations start off verse number 9, 10, 11 of. So it's like a continuation of verse number 8. So verse number 9 of from the NLT version reads, "The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me." And some translation may say, "Of the world's sin of refusing to believe in me." Thus, the Holy Spirit, continuing the thought from verse number 8, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of his sin of rejecting God and his son, which is the ultimate sin. Moving on to verse number 10 of John chapter 16. The NLT version reads, The righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Some translation says of righteousness or of God righteousness, which we talked about earlier. And when he says in this verse, you will see me no more, because he's going back to the Father. He would have completed his mission of dying for our sins, being resurrected, because once he was resurrected, as we will see, he didn't just immediately go into back to the Father. He spent time here still on this earth ministering and teaching to his disciples. And then eventually he ascended to the Father. Then finally, in verse number 11, the NLT version says, "Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been convicted." And continuing with the theme of how some translation has verses 9, 10, 11 as a continuation of verse number 8, it may say of the Holy Spirit will convict of judgment. But as we talked about in verse number earlier, verse number 11 is talking about the Holy Spirit will serve to constantly remind all who oppose Jesus that they're subject to judgment. And this judgment starts with Satan himself, which we see in Hebrews, which is talked about in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. However, this judgment will extend to anyone who chooses to side with the world and its ruler and reject God. You can see that in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 through 31, John 3 through 36. That Satan has been judged for sin, and those who follow him, those who refuse to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will be convicted of sin and have been convicted of sin. However, if you have not confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now, is knocking at your heart, you feel something and you say, "Hey, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again. If that's you, say this with me. Confess it right now. Now is your opportunity. You may not have another opportunity, because as I often say, and which we all know is true, tomorrow is not promised to us. It's not. We take it for granted that we're going to wake up. But it's not. It's not guaranteed. And you don't want to be convicted, die and be convicted, be judged for not having confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do it right now. If he's speaking to you, do it right now. Say this: "Father God, I am a sinner, born into sin and committed my own sins. And I need a Savior. And that Savior is your Son, Jesus. I confess and believe right now that Jesus died for my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that you raised him from the dead because he was perfect. Jesus, I now call you Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. If you did that, that's the best decision you could ever make. You are now a new creature spiritually in Christ. That new creature may still live in this fleshly body, still have its worldly experiences, but your sins have been forgiven. You now have reconciliation with God the Father. You now will have new life that's eternal. And even though you may have those mindly and worldly experiences, you still live in this flesh, the sanctification process can start. You want to live for God. You want to do what he would want you to do. And how you build yourself up to do that on a daily basis, which is a lifelong process. The sanctification process is a lifelong process. It's to continue to study God's word. Continue to pray to him. And he will strengthen you. He will encourage you just like he did, like we're seeing him doing with his disciples. He will open up his word to you. He'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He'll give you peace. He'll give you understanding. He'll give you comfort through the power of the Holy Spirit. You now serve a great God and part of a great holy family, his family of believers. And I'm here to encourage you. You've done a wonderful thing. Don't let Satan or anyone else take it from you, try to fool you. Stand on the word of God that I've confessed Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I've asked him to forgive my sins, and he's done it. He did it on that cross for you over 2,000 years ago, for me, for all of us, and you've now confessed that. Hallelujah. You should rejoice. Salvation is not about a sin. It's not about emotion. No matter what you feel, you take God for his word, and God said, if you call on the name of Lord, if you call on the name of Jesus, you shall be saved. And if that's you, hallelujah, welcome to the family. Heaven is rejoicing because of you, because of the decision you've just made. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for those who have confessed their belief in you as your son, as their Lord and Savior. We ask that you strengthen them, guide them, protect them, that they may grow into you, Father. Be hooked up with a local assembly of believers to worship you, to praise you, to grow in you. We thank you for this time that we can study in your word. And we just ask that you bless each listener with your presence and your comfort, your understanding, your counsel. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Until next time, may God bless you. Amen. We pray that this Bible study has blessed you. If you have a prayer request, you can email it to renewyourmindm@gmail.com or mail it to P.O. Box 721143, Jackson, Mississippi 39272. Remember, you can hear current and past episodes at any time on our website of renewyourmindministries.org or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Alexa, Audible, and Google Podcasts. We encourage you to tell others about the program and share our website of renewyourmindministries.org. Jesus says in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. By telling others about the program, you are doing your part to spread the gospel into all the world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Until next time, this has been Renewing Your Mind with the Word of God.